Good evening. I'm glad everybody could join us this evening for our replay of last week's conference call. We were so sorry last week when we didn't realize we had a glitch in the system and everybody was on hold the whole time. So if you popped back on tonight, thank you so much for coming back in tonight. Kim's got an awesome word. This is Kalita, by the way. Kim has an awesome word tonight that she's going to share. Bless her heart, she taught her heart out last week, but she's going to teach it again. And then after that, we're going to take communion together, and I'm going to pray, and Carol's going to pray. And we are just really excited about this evening. We've already prayed that everybody's heart would be open, that they have ears to hear, and minimal distractions. So I am going to turn this over to Kim.
Thank you, Kalita. There seems to be a little bit of noise somewhere. I'm not sure where it's coming from. But thank you, and thank everybody for coming back. With Kalita, apologize for last week. It was just a glitch, but we do not quit. We persevere, so here we are back again. I guess Kalita and Carol and I needed to hear it one more time. So I'm going to teach tonight on a heart to prosper. If you'll remember at the beginning of the year, the Lord gave us a word that this was our year to thrive, not to just survive any longer, but to thrive. And one of the things that the Lord instructed me to do was to teach more and write more on finances, because if we're going to thrive in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to do things God's way. So we need to know what that way is. And at the beginning of the year, the Lord told me to teach more to the partners about giving, because he said to me, when someone puts seed in the ground, those people are willing to do the work to obtain the harvest. So that's you that he's talking about. He said, you've put seed in the ground. You're willing to do what it takes to get your harvest. And one of the things we need to do is to study and know how to do things God's way. As you covenant with us, through partnership, we are in covenant together, and our strength becomes your strength, and your strength becomes our strength. And if we are going to thrive this year and increase, and we want you to go with us, and we're willing to stand with you and battle with you and confess with you and declare with you until you see the fullness of your harvest. Now, most of us on this call are very familiar with the scriptures that most people here taught about giving, but we're going to go over just a few of them tonight as our foundational scriptures, and then we're going to get into some deeper areas in a heart to prosper. First of all, Malachi. Are we okay?
Yeah, we're okay.
Okay. Malachi 3:10 reads, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there is not room enough to receive it. I love this scripture because God says, let me prove myself to you. And then Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your bosom. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And then Luke 16:10 through 13 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the trust of true riches? God is saying here, if you're not faithful with your money, who's going to give you true riches? This is the testing area. And Jesus said, this is the least of these. I wish we could all get that one key. How we handle our money, whether we do it God's way or do not do it God's way, is the least thing that we should be using our faith for. Jesus taught this principle. He who is faithful in very little is faithful in much. And he is the one that said, it's the little thing. The money in your life is the little thing. If we're ever going to advance to where we're seeing the dead raised and miracles happen, we're going to have to first be faithful in how we use our money to advance the kingdom of God. Then he can entrust to us true riches. I love how Proverbs 11:24 in the Message Bible says it. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So we see this is God's testing ground for us. Financial faithfulness. It doesn't only include your giving and your tithing, but it also includes how we manage the material goods that God has entrusted to us, how we handle our savings, how we handle our spending, how we take care of the precious things that God puts in our life. All of these are ways that we can honor God with our giving. It's not a money issue, it is a heart issue. It's an obedience issue. Suppose I gave someone a gift and I said to them, I really don't want to do this, but I have to. I know I'm supposed to, so I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. I really would rather not, but here it is. That's not a good gift to give a heart. That's why the Bible talks about being a cheerful giver and not giving grudgingly. I wonder if we would realize that there is probably no more of an accurate gauge of your spiritual life than your giving to the Lord's work. Jesus said this is the least. If you're not giving him your finances the way he asks us to, you're probably not giving him much time in the Word. You're probably not giving him much prayer time. You're probably not very disciplined in other areas of your life as well. And it all goes back to a heart issue. Giving generously takes faith because you have to trust that when you give according to the Word of God, that God's going to meet your needs. I understand that it takes faith to give. I've lived this way for many, many years, but I'm just now learning how vital it is that we realize that it's an issue of the heart and not an issue of the finances. Will we trust the living God who gave his only Son for us by giving into the kingdom of God? The Word of God is true when it says that he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. But still, the motivation of the heart behind your gift is more important than the gift itself. This is the point made in 1 Corinthians 13:3, which says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. I gain nothing. If giving is not done out of a heart of love, it will profit you nothing. That's what the Bible says. So again, I emphasize the reason you give, the motive in your giving, is more important than what or how much you give. We all know about the widow woman who gave Elijah her last meal, and she was supernaturally sustained for 3 years. That is an awesome, awesome seed to give. But she wasn't giving to get. She gave because the Bible says in 1 Kings 17:9 that God commanded a widow woman to sustain Elijah. She gave out of a heart of obedience to the Lord. And we all know about Cornelius' gift that came up before God as a memorial. Again, it wasn't the gift that pleased God. It was his faith in God that pleased God. His giving was a manifestation, token of his faith and trust in the Lord. It's a heart issue, people. It is a heart issue. I can't even imagine if my two grandkids, the only time they ever showed me love was if I told them they had to, or if I pressured them to, or if they felt like they had to. I was thinking about that this morning as I was driving home from a meeting, and I thought I was just talking to the Lord and telling him that I loved him, and I thought about how Braylee or Bryson will run up to me and just wrap their arms around me and say, I love you, Nana. It's not provoked, it's not asked for, it's not because I gave them anything, it's just because they love me. And see, that's how it is with God. When we give him a gift out of the abundance of our heart, I believe he feels the same way that I feel when they do that for me. And, you know, God does lead us to give at times, and he does tell us to give at times. But, oh, my goodness, at the times when he doesn't tell us we have to give and we give out of the abundance of our heart, that's the same feeling that he gets, that I get with those two grandkids. Now, on that subject, I want to tell you about an offering that happened at my house. It's been a few weeks ago. A friend of mine that I have known since elementary school called and said she was coming to my house and she wanted to bring an offering. And this wasn't the first time she's done that. She's done that many times over the years. But this one was so different that it set me on this path of studying what I'm teaching you tonight. And I haven't even gotten to the best part yet. But she came in, and she lives an hour away from me, and she drove over here, and she came in, and she wrote this check out. And I was standing on one side of my counter in the kitchen, and she was standing on the other side. And she just took the check, and she slid it across the counter under her hand. And when she did, I placed my hand over her hand, and I began to pray over that offering. I hadn't looked at it. I just began to pray over it. And when I did, it felt like fire came down from heaven and picked up that check and just sucked it back up. It was the most amazing thing I have ever seen concerning an offering. And I continued to pray. And when I opened my eyes and looked at her, she said, "Did you feel that?" And I said, "What did you feel?" And she said, "It felt like something came down from heaven and picked up that check." I said, "That's exactly what I felt." And at the instant that that came down and picked up that offering, I know it sounds odd, but it's in the Bible. The minute that happened, the presence of God just filled my house. And all we could do for an hour or so was just worship God. But it was the most amazing thing that I have ever witnessed in an offering. And later that night, I looked up a scripture, and it's in Leviticus, and it says, "Fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the offering." And that's exactly what we felt. And I began to say to God, "God, what was different about that offering? Tell me what was different about that. I've never given an offering where I felt like you did that. Tell me what it was." And all the Lord would say to me was, "It was a heart issue. It was a heart issue." And so I began to pray into that. I wanted to know what made that different. And over the next few days, as I was praying, I was another friend mentioned a book that she had read on hardness of heart by Andrew Womack. And I knew when she mentioned it to me, I had to have that book. So I ordered the book and I began to read it. And I realized in just the first, I think I was on page 12 when I had to stop and put the book down, because it was such heavy, deep teaching on hardness of heart. And I realized immediately that there were areas of my heart that had become hardened before the Lord. If you had have asked me that, if I had a hard heart before the Lord or toward the Lord, I would have said absolutely not. I thought before I read that book that it was someone who was in rebellion or someone who didn't believe in God or someone who was in sin, but I found out that's not true. I had some hard places on my heart. And one of the places that I believe a lot of us have had hardness of heart is when it comes to finances. Hardness of heart begins with a callus. You know what a callus is? When it comes over a sore or anything. I think many times when we give and we don't see what we expected to see and we become disappointed, or it doesn't happen when we think it's going to happen and we become disappointed, our heart starts to harden. It starts to callus over. When things don't happen the way we expect them to, our heart becomes hardened. And, you know, many times when things become hardened, we think it's because we're protecting ourselves and guarding ourselves, but we have to keep a heart that is pliable before the Lord. I don't care what happens or doesn't happen. We have to choose to focus on God's truth rather than our disappointment, whether it being the timing of the Lord or the way the Lord worked it out. And, you know, some of you know I had a magazine several years ago a Christian women's magazine, and the only thing the Lord had told me about it was it would be the first Christian magazine in the secular market, and it was just that. But I'll tell you what else it was. It ended not great. It cost me everything. I lost everything, and I think through that, my heart became very hardened in that area toward that magazine. I didn't even realize it until I was working on the magazine that we just sent out. So see, our hearts can become hardened in those areas. Or if we're believing for healing and it doesn't happen the way we wanted it to, or we're believing for someone to be healed and they died, we have to be careful because our hearts can become hardened before the Lord if we choose to focus on anything other than the truth of God. So in our finances, if you've had hard times with your finances, if you've given and felt like it wasn't working, if you've tithed and felt like it wasn't working, that is a sign of a hardness of heart in finances. If you're one that says, it's not working for me, I've given, 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 nothing's working, that is a time that you need to check your heart and ask God if you've got a hardened heart, and if you have, to ask Him to help you to fix it. Because if your heart becomes hardened toward giving, you won't expect a harvest. You may say you do, but in your heart you won't. And if you have a hardened heart, you will not be able to receive a harvest. You cannot sow seed in hard ground, and hard ground will not reap a harvest. So you have to be so careful of your heart and make sure that your heart remains pliable before God. I have studied the book of Mark as I was studying hardness of heart. And you know, if you're listening to me and you think, oh, that's not me, my heart's not hardened in any area, I serve God with my whole heart, I want to read you a few scriptures and take a look at this. In Mark 6, we read that Jesus fed the 5,000. Almost everybody knows that story. And his 12 closest people were there with him. His 12 disciples were there with him and saw this miracle. And just a few scriptures later, we see that the disciples had gotten into a boat and they were headed across the water, and it became a storm arose, and Jesus began walking on the water toward them. And the Bible says, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their hearts were hardened. They had just witnessed this huge miracle with Jesus feeding 5,000 people with just a few loaves and fishes. And their hearts were so hardened that they didn't even realize that this was the same Jesus that was now walking toward them on the water. Now, to be hardened in your heart means to grow hard, callous, to become dull, to lose the power of understanding, and to lose the power of receiving. The devil has worked for years to harden our hearts toward giving, and especially tithing, because he knows that if our heart remains pure and right and soft before God in this area, there'll be no lack in the church. There'll be no lack in the body of Christ. And he's tried to convince us that tithing was under the law, but tithing was around before the law. It was in the heart of those men in the Old Testament to give a portion of what God had given them before the law. So if your heart has become hardened toward giving, or if you even want to know if it is, I would highly recommend you get the book by Andrew Womack, Hardened Heart. It is a blessing to read. It's kind of hard to read, but only hard because it hurts, but it's great. Now, if you feel like your heart has become hardened in some areas, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Everything that you are believing God for is going to be a product that comes out of your heart. We all know this scripture in Proverbs, but do we give it the place that it deserves in our life? Issues in this scripture means the source. It means to come out of the very source. Everything you're praying for is going to come out of your heart. If your heart is hardened, it will not be able to manifest the miracle that God has for you. Now, I'm going to tell you a few things that you can do to not have a hardened heart before God. And if you do, it's easy to fix in just a heartbeat. All you've got to do is first repent. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin before God, He is faithful and just to forgive us. But it doesn't just stop there. It says He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is one of the scriptures that I stand on when I'm struggling with something. And every time if I've repented of something, every time a thought comes back to me, I remind God, Father, I have repented, and I know that You're faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of it. So cleanse me of a hardened heart. Second, you have to refuse to consider anything other than what the Word of the living God says. You've got to see it like Jesus saw it, and you've got to refuse to consider anything else. I will never forget a message I heard from Creflo Dollar last year. Now, Creflo Dollar has been in ministry a lot of years, and he is a man of faith. At least I would call him a man of faith. But I was listening to him teach, and it was about an incident that happened in his life not too long before. And he said that he had a growth, I think, in his throat, and he was scheduled to have surgery. He was standing in faith for healing, but he was scheduled to have surgery if his healing didn't manifest before the surgery date. He said he was confounded because he had been healed of much greater things in the past, and he could not understand. As they were wheeling him down to surgery, he could not understand why he was having to have surgery for this thing that was so much smaller than the big things he had been healed of. And he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, I don't understand. I know how I have faith for healing. What is the problem here? And God said to him, it is because of your unbelief. And if you think you can't have faith and unbelief at the same time, you're wrong. You can. And as I listened to Creflo talk about this, he said the Lord told him that it came because he began to research and study and look into and consider. To consider means to study, to ponder, to deliberate, or to examine. He began to examine everything about this medical problem he had, and he spent more time examining that than he spent studying the Word of God concerning healing, and it allowed unbelief. And unbelief is a byproduct of a hardened heart. So if you have been given a diagnosis from the doctor, do not spend more time listening to what the doctor says and studying about your symptoms than you spend in the Word of God and confessing the Word. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor or don't listen to the doctor. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying at least spend as much time in the Word of God declaring your healing as you spend studying your sickness or listening to the doctor. You cannot consider anything except the Word of the living God. Abraham considered not his own body, because he knew his body could not possibly produce a son. He knew his wife's body could not possibly produce a child. Therefore, he did not consider that. He didn't study his body. He didn't try to figure out how it was going to happen. He didn't examine it. He kept his eyes fixed on the promise of God. And if you're going to keep your heart pliable before God, you've got to keep your heart fixed on the promise of God and not give anything else place in your life. Third, fasting and prayer also help get rid of unbelief, which comes with a hardened heart. You have to keep your mind, like I said, you have to keep your mind on God and refuse to consider anything else. You can spend time in fasting and prayer. I know people think fasting and prayer get rid of certain devils, but fasting and prayer gets rid of unbelief. And if you'll do these things, you'll keep your heart pliable before God. And I also have begun to pray this scripture in Ezekiel 36:26. God said, I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God promises us if we will begin to seek him, if we'll repent of our hardened heart and begin to seek him, that he will give us a pliable heart. He will remove that hardened heart. This has become one of my daily prayers. If I even, after reading that book, if I even see a symptom of my heart hardened in any area, I repent and say, God, I thank you. You've given me a new heart. You've removed this heart of stone, and you're giving me a new heart. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about the book of Mark. We read where Jesus fed the 5,000, and we saw that the disciples had a hardened heart. I want to look just a little farther into the future in Mark 8, 1 through 9. I'm going to read you a few scriptures. It says, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called the disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they now have continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples said, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in this wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he set them before them also. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now, we see just a few scriptures before, Jesus did basically the same thing. But just a few scriptures later, we see that when Jesus said, we need to feed these people, the only thing the disciples saw was lack. They only saw the little. They only saw the not enough. Even after seeing what Jesus did, they only saw not enough. Jesus saw differently. In the same amount, he saw provision and the opportunity for multiplication. Because Jesus saw different, he spoke different. The disciples said, it's not enough. How can we feed these people in the wilderness? But Jesus said, Father, I thank you, and I bless this provision, and it multiplied. I want you to get this. He saw different, so he spoke different. It all goes back to the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How do you see what you have? Do you see it as not enough? Do you see it as too little? Or do you see it with the possibility of multiplication? I can't tell you how many times we've gotten an offering in for a dollar or even coins, and they would say, I'm sorry, it's so little. But they don't understand the power in that seed to multiply. Jesus had some keys for seeing different and speaking different. First of all, he gave thanks. Do not curse your seed by saying it's too small or it's not enough. Every seed has within it the power to multiply. Your God made it that way. Be thankful for what you have. I don't care how small it is. Be thankful for what you have. A thankful heart will change everything in your life. Next, you have to pray a blessing over what you have. To bless means to cause to increase. That day, with all those people in the wilderness, the provision was already there. It was in seed form, but it was already there. Perhaps your provision is already there as well in seed form. If it is, do not see what you have as not enough. See it as Jesus sees it, with the potential to multiply. One day I was out in the backyard, and I was picking up some stuff out of the yard, and I bent over and picked up an acorn seed. And the Lord said to me, what do you see? And I thought I was being all super spiritual, and I said, I see a tree. I don't see a seed, Lord. I see a tree. And he said, almost sadly, most people do. But I see a forest. See, our God is a God of multiplication. We see it in the book of Mark. I've showed you two different times. We see it in Luke 6:38 when it says, "Given it shall be given unto you." We see it in the widow woman that gave to Elijah. Our God is a God of multiplication. We see it in Isaac when he sowed in famine and reaped a hundredfold return. That's multiplication. It's in the Bible. It's the Word of God. And those whose hearts are soft and tender before God will live with a mindset of multiplication, just like Jesus did. But if your heart has become hardened before God concerning giving, you'll see as the disciples did. Now let me show you one last scripture, Mark 8:17. This is after Jesus fed the multitude the second time. Verse 18 says, having eyes, well, let me back up. Verse 17, the disciples were trying to figure out what Jesus was talking about among themselves, and Jesus said, being aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember?" See, guys, I do not want us to have hardened hearts. I do not want Jesus to have to say that to any of us like he did to the disciples. Those were his disciples. Those were the closest people to him. And he was saying, is your heart still hardened? Why can you not see that there is a miracle-working God in your midst that can do anything, with whom nothing is impossible? And that's what I believe God wants you to see tonight, that he is a God of multiplication. And if you have a need, perhaps the provision is already in your hand in seed form. Or perhaps your heart has become hardened and you can't receive the miracle of multiplication that God has for you. Whichever it is, or if it's neither, I would just pray and ask God that you would have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that you would expect your God to come through on your behalf and meet all of your needs. And most of all, pray that your heart would be right before God and that he would receive your giving like he did my friends that night, that it would be a sweet-smelling sacrifice to him. You know, we pray over you guys' seeds, and since I've been studying this, I've always thanked God for them, but now I've begun to thank God and bless them and expect multiplication for you and for us, because our God is a God of multiplication. Now, that is all of my message for tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you have your communion elements ready, let's take communion together and seal this truth in the Word of the living God. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, Mark 14:22 through 26. It says, "As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, 'Take, eat, for this is my body.' And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them, and they drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. And I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" I love the way the Living Translation says, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people." So now let's take communion with the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for this word. God, I thank you that we do have ears to hear and we have hearts to understand. And Lord, I thank you, God, for our hearts. Father, we repent of any hardness of heart in any area, God. And Father, we asked you, according to your word, to give us a new heart, a heart of flesh, that you would remove any hardened heart within us, God, and give us a heart of flesh that would be pliable before you, that heart that would be pleasing to you, Father. God, we thank you tonight for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the stripes that fell on his back, and because of those stripes, our body is healed from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Every cell, every organ, every function of our body is healed, restored, and made whole this night in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe we receive the fullness of our healing and wholeness from the cross. Father, we thank you for giving us the blessing as part of our inheritance. I thank you that that blessing includes not only our physical healing, but our emotional healing, and that all of our needs are met in abundance according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Father, we ask you this night again, give us a new heart according to your word. Father, we thank you and we receive it tonight, and we receive the fulfillment of the inheritance that Jesus died to give us. We receive the fullness of it. We receive all of our needs met. We receive a full harvest on every seed sown, and we receive a full harvest, God, on every word we've spoken over our body for healing. We receive healing in our body tonight, God. Father, we command sickness and disease to leave our bodies in Jesus' name, and we command wholeness to come. Any part of our body that's lacking anything, Father, we ask you to bring wholeness tonight. Confirm your covenant with us today, God. Confirm your covenant as we receive this bread as the body that was broken for us. Now you may eat your bread. Thank you, Jesus. Now take your cup. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus is so precious. Your sin-free, your disease-free, your poverty-free blood causes us to be sin-free, disease-free, and poverty-free because your blood now flows through our veins. Because of your blood, every sin has been removed. We are forgiven from all of our sins, past, present, and future, and made righteous in you, God. Today we celebrate and partake of the inheritance of the righteous, which includes preservation, healing, wholeness, and provision. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for loving us so much that you sent him to the cross, that he shed his blood for us. Lord, I am so very thankful to you tonight. I thank you, Father, for confirming your covenant. And I thank you, God, that we receive your word of truth tonight. And as we receive this juice into our body, we receive the shed blood of Jesus Christ, sealing our inheritance, sealing our wholeness, sealing our healing, and sealing your provision in our lives. All that has come through the blood, we receive it as we drink of the blood of Jesus Christ this night. We receive it and we seal it in the blood, confirming your covenant with us, Father. We give you thanks. You can drink your cup now. Father, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for this unique opportunity to have communion with our partners. Father, you said that those that bless us, you will bless. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and by the authority of your word, I release a blessing over every single person in the sound of my voice. I release a blessing of healing and wholeness. I release miracles, signs, and wonders to our partners. I release a blessing, Father God, of provision. I release a blessing, Father God, of soundness of mind, of an increase of your presence, an increase of your peace, Father God. Bless our partners, God. You said that a blessing could not be taken back. I release a blessing on every single one of them and everyone in their household. I thank you, God, for bringing the prodigals home. I thank you for healing and restoration in their families. I thank you for peace and your presence invading their homes. And I thank you for healing and wholeness invading their bodies. And I thank you for a multiplied provision coming to them before the end of this month. I give you thanks for them, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Kalita.
Wow. That was awesome. That was truly a word straight from the heart of God, Kim. And the one reason I know is because I stepped on my toes.
Well, you know how it goes. When he steps on mine, I step on yours.
Yes. But I like that because, you know, I like that. That tells me the Lord's paying attention. So I love that you said if you're not giving in your finances, like the Bible says, that you're probably not spending time or reading your Bible either. That really spoke to me tonight. And then last week, you said the motive of your giving is more important than the gift itself. And that...
Yeah.
That will preach right there. So,
yeah, we've got to get our heart right. We've got to get our heart right.
Thank you.
And that's what I saw tonight with that offering here at my house. I don't know what was in her heart between her and God, but it was exactly right.
Yes. And
that's the heart I'm after.
Yes, yes. And communion, I felt very strongly about communion. So, partners, let me ask you, if this teaching tonight blesses you, if you feel something in communion when you get, you know, we're believing that the word will be confirmed with signs and wonders, please email one of us and let us know so we can rejoice with you all. So that would just be awesome. Well, we're not going to keep you much longer, but I have a prayer that I'm going to pray over y'all, and then Miss Carol's going to as well. So let me just pray. Father, tonight I come to you on behalf of our partners, and we take a stand, Lord, against lack in any shape or form. Lord, we know that you are the God of abundance, and we serve you. Therefore, we renounce any covenants that we have unknowingly made with lack, and we pull up every negative word and every word that does not line up with your will for our lives. We confess it as sin, and we ask for forgiveness in Jesus' name. We pull up every negative word by the roots and cast it down, rendering it useless as we plead the blood of Jesus over them. Lord, over and over in your word, your answer to lack was not just provision, but provision through what the person already had in their possession. So just as the Lord multiplied the loaves and fishes and Elisha the widow's oil, we are not only asking for that multiplication, Lord, but we are asking for you to show us what we have that you can multiply. We command the resistance of this principle to stop in Jesus' name and for the provision to be revealed. Lord, show us what is hidden in our hearts and minds. Show us talents we can use. Help us to enter into the marketplace with the provision you have already given us. And as we give these ideas and are obedient to what you say with them, as we give these ideas to you, Lord, I know that you will bless them and multiply us. So we decree and declare that today is the last day for hidden provision. We declare that witty inventions and ideas are coming our way into every life of our partner, every household. We will not despise the day of small beginnings. And we choose to be thankful for every cent that comes our way. We choose to live a grateful life. We choose to honor you with our tithes and offerings. We thank you that you are the God of the harvest and that you watch over your word to perform it. Lord, we declare an end to poverty this day. We call forth an unveiling of what is in our hands, what is in our possession, what you've already provided. And we thank you for what we already have and what you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so Miss Carol, I'm going to let you hop in here now.
Oh, Father God, we just come to you. We come to you with thankful hearts. Father, we also come to you with repentant hearts. For those of us who've had a hardened heart or who do have a hardened heart, Father, we just ask forgiveness for that right now, that you would forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as Ken brought to our thoughts earlier. Father, we just stand before you right now, and we lift our face up toward you, and we praise you, Father, for you are a God of increase. You are not a God of decrease. And, Father, with the seed that we have in the ground, Father, we thank you that where we planted it was in good soil, and we will not dig it up. Therefore, under the obedience of having a clean heart before you, Father. I thank you for each one of the partners tonight, right now, in Jesus' name, that they increase, that they do multiply, Father, that as they walk through their home this very night, Father, you are tangible to them and show them multiplication. And Father, I thank you that you show it to them plainly as on a blackboard, each of them in their homes, Father. Father, I just thank you for their faithfulness. Father, I just thank you right now for blessing each and every one of them and for blessing Kalita and Kim for their time and what the Lord has placed in their hearts, and especially Kim, the anointing that he's placed on her to bring this to us and how she's listened with her heart, and Father, how she even put the book down to take care of the situation. And Father, let each one of us take care of that situation exactly the same way as you would knock on our heart, knock on that door, and let us know where we need to stop and say, Lord, I just ask forgiveness. I've hardened my heart against this or that. Father, I thank you for financial increase. I thank you for great promotion in jobs. Father, I thank you for people who've gone unnoticed in their jobs and thought they would never be promoted. They would never get a better salary. They would never get a better wage per hour, or that they would never get a better job. Father, I thank you that those very people become recognized and multiplied because of their faithfulness to you, Lord, because they have planted seed in their jobs. And I thank you now. And Father, for those who are at home studying the Word, Father, I thank you that you begin to multiply the Word in their heart, Lord, that Word, that increase, Father, to know, to have the faithfulness. Father, I thank you. We just renounce unbelief right now, as Kim talked about earlier with Creflo Dollar. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that our partners are whole and complete before you, lacking in nothing. And Father, I just give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Well, partners, we sure do appreciate you guys coming on tonight. We are so blessed that you did, and thank you for sticking with us through our glitches, and I believe God is going to do amazing things in your body and in your finances, and like Kalita said, please let us know, and let us know if you're enjoying the prayer calls. It helps us to know if it's ministering to you. We're going to close now. You guys have a wonderful, blessed night, and know that we are praying over you daily. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Yes.